as it is in heaven. Oh, 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 oh. Though our hands are empty, we trust there's nothing missing. Your faithfulness behind us is the proof. Knowing you are here, we're standing on your promise. Whatever happens has to end in good. Your will be done, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, 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 oh. He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. His body the bread, his blood the wine, broken and poured out all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing, love so amazing. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all our hope is in you. All our hope is in you. All the glory to you, God, the light of the world. All our hope is in you. All our hope is in you. All the glory to you, God, the light of the world. Jesus Messiah, name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all, the Lord of all, the Lord of all. Two thieves, the perfect Lamb of God between, a broken heart and mother at his feet, the pain of it all for me. The earth shakes, the darkness falls, the Father hides his face. His body hits the dust of a borrowed grave. You paid it all for me, for me. I thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. I praise you, praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you for the cross. My victory, bursting from the grave, my risen King. The sacrifice for love was hell's defeat. You won it all for me, for me. I thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. I praise you, praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. A thousand songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you for the Father, for the Son, for the power of your love, for the Spirit that's in us, for the blood that overcomes, for your life, for your death, for the hope that's still ahead. We sing thank you, thank you. I thank you, thank you, thank you for the cross. I praise you, praise you. Without it I'd be lost. There's no love like your love. 1,000 songs are not enough. There's no love like your love. 1,000 songs are not enough. There's no love like your love. 1,000 songs are not enough to say thank you. Thank you for the cross. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. And what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I know the author of tomorrow has ordered my steps. So this is my story, this is my song. I'm praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. Oh, I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Oh, I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. I sought the Lord and He heard and He answered. That's why I trust Him, that's why I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. fail. He will never fail.
Amen. Welcome home to Hope on the Beach Church. We're so glad to have you here today on a beautiful Good Friday. You are a blessing to us, and we are so glad you've come to be with us. We want to remind you, you're in a no-judgment zone, which means it's okay if you're not just doing okay. It's all right. We love you. We're glad you're here. It also means you're free to worship however you wish. Yes, raise the hands, clap the hands, stand, sit, do as you wish. We just want you to encounter Jesus today. So we're glad you're here to help you do that. We have put a bulletin in your hand, and in that bulletin you'll find the songs that we're going to worship with. You'll find an outline for the message that will come from Pastor Sheeler in just a bit, and announcements for the upcoming week, most of which center on, oh, I don't know, there's something big happening this weekend. Yeah, Easter. So we call your attention to that and invite you to join us for all those activities that are listed there for you. But we want you to just enjoy the worship and encountering Christ. If you're joining us online, we welcome you. We're glad you're here with us. And I don't know if it's as pretty where you are, but trust me, it's beautiful here, and we welcome you to it. And on our website, you'll find that you can download our bulletin and the outline for the message. So we invite you to do that. Also invite you to make comments so we can know you're here with us. In your bulletin, you also have a connection card. We'd love to invite you to fill out the front side. That's with just some contact information and maybe how you found your way to Hope. We love to connect with you, and we don't always get to do that personally, but if you'll give us some information, we can connect with you that way. So I invite you to do that. We'll collect those at the end of the service. So I'd like to invite you to stand with me as we pray, and then Roberto will lead us in our worship songs. Father, we thank you for the beautiful day and the opportunity to just be in your presence, to just fill this place with your glory and your love. We thank you for coming to be with us, and we look forward to hearing from you as you have an opportunity to hear our praise from us. And so we look forward to having this great time of communion with you through faith in Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let's worship the Lord who from the very cross forgave our sins.
Cast my mind to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone, Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. He shall return in robes of white. The blazing sun shall pierce the night, and I will rise among the saints, my gaze transfixed, oh, on Jesus' face. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing Your praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord our God. Oh, praise His name forevermore. For endless days we will sing You praise. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Oh, Lord, oh, Lord our God. Amen. There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide, where all the love I've ever felt comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of You, I'm in awe of You. Where Your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to You, I owe all to You, Jesus. There's a place where sin and shame are powerless. There my heart has peace with God and forgiveness. Where all the love I've ever found comes like a flood, comes flowing down. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of You, I'm in all of You. Where Your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to You, I owe all to You. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in awe of You, I'm in awe of You. Where Your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to You, I owe all to You. Here my hope is found, here on holy ground, here I bow down. Here I bow down. Here, arms open wide. Here, you saved my life. Here I bow down. Here I bow down. Here, my hope is found. Here, on holy ground. Here I bow down. Here I bow down. Here, arms open wide. Here, you saved my life. Here I bow down. Here I bow. At the cross, I surrender my life. I'm in all of you. I'm in all of you. Where your love ran red and my sin washed white, I owe all to you. I owe all to you, Jesus.
Amen, God. It is good that we come and we just be in your presence, Lord. For there is not even the words to express our gratitude and thanks for what you did on that cross today. And so, Lord, we ask by the power of your Spirit that, God, you would speak to us, that you would help us understand the cross in greater ways of what it really means and what a difference it really makes in our life, that it really takes shape in our heart, that it take it from, yeah, we know, to who we are. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So my wife, Christy, and I were shopping for a car. Our number of grandkids have grown, and the little car we had, we really wanted a place with a middle seat, three seats, and three rows, and a bench, so we'd have room for everybody, and plus our dog, Princess Kate, needs a better place to lay every once in a while, too. So we went shopping for a car and test drove it, and we thought, yeah, that's probably the one, and we went home and but got busy in work and stuff like that. She was going away to Virginia. And so we're just in a hustle. And the guy never followed up with this. And then I get this guy calls me and says, hey, you guys test drove this car. Why didn't you buy it? And I said, well, we've been busy. But, you know, we decided that we like that car. So let's make a deal. And he was like, I thought, the general manager. So I love when you get the person higher up and you do it by text and by on the phone, because I don't have to be there in that place. And I can, like, call the terms. And so we're going back and forth, hackling this thing down, and finally, like, man, got the deal. And I can tell you, I felt like the boss. Because I'm like, we got a great deal, and here's the thing. I'm leaving Virginia next day, so I need to get this car in the morning. You need to have everything ready, car ready, papers ready. I'm going to come first thing, sign everything, switch cars, and I'm going to go to work, and then I'm driving that night up to Virginia. And they say, we got it. I'm like, great. Next morning, I get up, get over there, 8 o'clock in the morning. There's the car we test drove. Great car. Did a walk around. I said, that's it. That's great. Walked in, signed the papers, switch keys, gone, going to work. I'm like, man, this feels awesome. So I'm calling Chris on the way. I said, Chris, I got it. It's done. Everything we talked about, numbers all matched up. It's good. And like, I'm 2 blocks away, and I need to go to the next lane. And I turn my head around to look back to make sure it's clear. And when I did, I realized that there was not a bench, but there was captain's chairs. Oh, I felt like the biggest fool in the world. Like, they switched cars on me and I didn't even notice it. This was a huge thing, why we wanted this car for the bench. Holy God, now I gotta go back and tell them I don't want this car. I felt like such a fool. Have you had moments like that where you did something and you just go, man, I was such a fool? I guess you didn't, but I have. And the world says that this cross is foolish. In fact, the world will say you are a fool to believe in it. The world said, you're a fool to even being here right now in worship. For some of you, this is part of your vacation, and now you're in church for vacation? What a fool. But for the Christians claim it's everything. And so the question for us is that true for us or not? If you look at the scripture from 1 Corinthians in your notes, it's the first verse is our memory verse. Let's just read that together. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block for the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men. The weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what's weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Maybe you can relate to this, but I do not like to read directions. I don't like to read instructions. I believe an intuitive assembly is the best way to go. And I discovered this when I got some IKEA furniture that exposes my life. I mean, you open the box, you look at the manual, and you're like, eh, I got this. I don't need a manual. And so you just go at it, and 45 minutes later, you built something. But that's not what's on the box. And you got this extra screws and pieces of wood, and the dresser you built kind of leaning. Most of us tend to approach God the same way. We think, I've got a general idea of God. I'm vaguely familiar with his word and ways. I mean, if you just kind of boil it down, make it simple, it's just be a good person. Try harder. Do your best. And go to church once in a while when you can. And God will bless you. And that's kind of what we do. And then life hits. And suddenly, your life is not holding together. It's unraveling in front of you. And then you start to ask this question. Why? Why is life so hard? Why do I still feel guilty? Why doesn't this fix me? Why isn't my relationships not better? And we look to God for help. And what we get is Good Friday. You see, at Good Friday, we don't find the instruction manual that says, here's three steps to a better you, or here's how you can have the best version of you. Instead of Good Friday, when God answers us, he says, instead we find a cross. Cross. And Paul looks at that cross and says, the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, But to us who are being saved, it's the power of God. Notice in that statement, there is no middle ground. You don't get to stay in neutral. The cross is either foolish to you, or it's the only thing that is holding your life together. You can't have it both ways. It's one or the other. And so what keeps us from just having it at the cross? Number one, the cross offends your instincts. The cross offends your instincts. We, Paul says, we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block. The word stumbling block literally means something that trips you up because you did not expect it to be there. In your worldview and your understanding, it don't belong. And what Paul is saying is God does not work the way we expect. We expect God, we want a God who is powerful, who's almighty. He's so powerful, almighty, that God would just remove our problems. He should step in and take care of them. And how should he do it? He should do it in a very impressive God way. We want a God who's impressive, who does these miracles, does the spectacular, who moves us so emotionally and overwhelms us emotionally. We want the spectacular God. We want a God who fixes things. And how we want to fix them is we want them fixed a certain way, but not only a certain way, we want them in our time. And we want a God who rewards effort. Bless me. The more good I do, the more good God should do to me. This is a God we desire. And in fact, it's a God a lot of churches preach. That's why churches avoid Good Friday. It's hard to fit that in. Because we want a God that's attractive to us. We want a God who's attractive to the world. Because we don't like to feel like we're the fools to the world. We want to fit in the world, so our God's got to fit in. The only difference is we just want our God to be greater than the world. Yet what God has reminded us, he said through the prophet Isaiah, in Isaiah 53:2, he says, he had no form of majesty, being Jesus, no beauty that we should desire him. It's a little shocking. I mean, God shows up and there's nothing about him that's impressive to us. Nothing about him that is attractive. He has no worldly appeal. I mean, after all, he's from a small town. Nothing has a reputation for nothing good come out of it. He's poor. He's lower class. He's unpopular. He's actually hated. And not looking good. I mean, it's kind of funny, right? We have these pictures of Jesus, and he always looks really good in the church. It's kind of like classmates.com, right? I don't know if you ever had that, but it's like a social media site for your graduating class, and they're always kind of like sending me these emails, and they're giving me these profile pictures of all my different classmates, and kind of like, hey, click in and see what's going on in your class. And you see these profile pictures and like, man, I don't look like they age that much. And then you like click in and you're like, oh no, that is not the same person. That profile is drastically different from reality. That's like a glamour shot on AI. That's not them. And that is what Good Friday is to us. The human expectation is this God of such great victory and power and triumph that we want, and if we're honest, we want him to act this way and do this way for us, for our reputation, for our selfish interests. But God's reality is a beaten, bloody man, nailed to wood as a criminal. totally exposed and helpless, just struggling to even breathe. It's a cross. And this is why it matters so much. Because letter A, you still expect God to work in your life the same wrong way. You think if God is with me, life should just be easier. God, if I'm doing good, then you ought to bless me and do good to me. Like, if I'm doing okay, then actually things should improve. Like, God, I'm doing your thing. Like, if I pray enough, then you should help me with these issues. You should fix it. God, you should be doing what I need you to do, what I want you to do. But instead of getting what we often expect and try to move God to, we often get struggle, silence, and we end up sitting and suffering. And often more than not, we feel forgotten and abandoned by God. And our instincts go, there must be something wrong with me. I did so much. God doesn't care about me anymore. I've gone too far. Or, this God is not who I thought. I got the wrong God. And it's usually here when people say, you know, this Christian thing, it doesn't work. It's foolish. And they look elsewhere because it's too hard. It's too uncomfortable. The loneliness is too great. And before you think you're the only one, pastors go through this too. Pastors go, I'm a fool for doing this and going through all this pain. It's too hard. It's too uncomfortable. I'm just gonna go get a normal job and have a normal life and make money and be happy and have my weekends. This is foolish giving us to all this. See, when we get there, every instinct in us says, move on. Take charge. Fix it yourselves. You got the strength. You got the ability. But here's the truth I learned. When you stay, and you stay in the suck of things, be God does his deepest work where it looks like he's doing nothing at all. God does his deepest work when it feels like he's doing nothing at all. You got to hear this, folks. God loves you. He surely does. But his love is greater than the worldly love. And he loves you enough to not leave you where you're at. Not leave you to be the same. But before he can grow you, he must empty you of you. What does Paul say? My power, God's power is made perfect in weakness. I mean, this is the Apostle Paul saying this. If there's anyone who said, look, who maybe looks foolish, it would be the Apostle Paul, right? Because the Apostle Paul, man, he was empowered. He thought he was on his game. He was the boss. He was out persecuting the church and thought he was incredibly righteous. He had authority over people. He was crushing people, killing people, stopping a movement. He was large in charge and taking over. Until Jesus showed up. And Paul fell to his knees and overwhelmed by the glory of Jesus. What? He was blinded. He was humbled. And he had to be guided and carried. And he had to be helped. And he went through this time of what? of great transformation, where it was Saul persecuting and became Paul, this incredible guy of the gospel. And even while he was a credible God of the gospel, he had this incredible pain and thorn in the flesh. And he prayed and prayed and prayed for it to go away, and it never went away, because God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Look, Paul, I'm going to keep you humble and empty, relying on me, so it's my power and your weakness. People know your story. You feel like maybe a fool, but that's where the power of the gospel is. See, God is not absent in weakness. He specializes in weakness. Because when you are weak, he can grow you in his strength. I mean, I would never ask for the pain and suffering I've gone through. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. However, when you're on the other side and you look back, those were some of the greatest moments with God in my life. Because in those moments, you realize how much he truly cares, how much he truly provides, how much that he's working and knows the bigger picture of your future better than you do. So it's not your plan in this moment, but man, there's something there he's working towards that you can't see. It's far better. And it's in those times what God does is he breaks the understandings that we have, this religion that we relate to God with rules, and brings us into this incredible relationship with him. See, the cross, it tells, number two, it tells the truth about you. I mean, Paul speaks rather directly to us and a little uncomfortable in this world today, but he's honest. He says, look, God chose what is foolish in this world. He chose the weak. He chose the low. He chose the despised. So if you're a believer in Jesus, there's your resume. Congratulations. You are a full, weak, low, despised person that God loves and has chose. But why? Paul tells us, verse 29, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. God didn't design salvation to include your participation. He didn't design it for your contribution. Because if he did, it would no longer be by grace, and you would take credit for it. I mean, have you ever noticed how quickly people take credit for things? I love chemistry class because we always had group projects, and it was always fun to see if we could blow something up. But, you know, but it was all these group projects, and when we did the project right, we always had that guy in the group who's like, I did it, I did it, I did that, I did that. And every time the teacher said, oh, you got that? Oh, I did it. And he did everything. We were just there for the ride, it seemed like. But whenever the project went wrong, it was amazing. Oh, I didn't do that. I wasn't part of that. I gave it to them. I guess our group just broke down. And we do the same thing spiritually. If I'm doing well, I must be doing something right. Being blessed. Got God's favor, highly favored, it's all good. If I'm struggling, it's just complicated. And Apostle Paul brings it back to reality in Romans 3:10. He says, no one, none of us is righteous. No, not one of us. And we all fall short of the glory of God. And now that's harsh in a world that says everybody gets a trophy, but it's incredibly accurate. The cross means you're not a mostly good person who needs just a little help, a little tweak, a little coaching. Let me just give you some advice. No, it says you are a sinner. You can't fix yourself. You can't hold your world together. If the problem could be solved by your effort, Jesus would not need to die. But Isaiah reminds us in 53:5, he was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. Isaiah's not saying, hey, there's just a general brokenness about you. No, Isaiah is saying, this is your sin. Your sin is in this. It's named. It's being carried. And it's being paid for on the cross. See, the thing you don't like about yourself, the pattern of thinking and behavior you have that always ends up in a mess, the guilt you revisit over and over, that is why the cross exists. See, number three, the cross is not an example. It's a substitute. I think this is where we've got it wrong in Christianity so many times. That we look at this cross and we make it into a religion of works. Because usually you walk away with a message of Good Friday and you think, oh my goodness, I need to be more sacrificial like Jesus. I need to love like Jesus. I need to try harder like Jesus. I need to give up more things like Jesus. No. That's not the message and point of Good Friday. Hebrews 9:22 says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Without the shedding of blood of that who is innocent, who is perfect, there is no forgiveness of sins. The cross is not Jesus showing you how to live. It's Jesus taking your place, your punishment, your death that you deserve, your condemnation that you deserve. It's being put on Jesus for you. If someone pays your debt, they don't say, hey, I paid your debt, now try harder. They say, look, I paid your debt, it's covered for you. Jesus says in John 19:30, records it, says, it is finished. Jesus didn't say from the cross, hey, I started the good work, you finish it. He doesn't say, look, I just made a way possible. Now you know your way. If you can work 2 to 2 and get up on the cross, then you too can be saved. No, he says, it is finished. It is paid in full. It is complete. See, A, the cross is not God making salvation available. It's God accomplishing it. The world gets this wrong, and I think Christians also get this wrong. And if we slow down enough to pay attention to ourselves, I think we'll understand it. But I think we have many Christians and many non-Christians who are soul tired. Their soul is tired. And part of the reason we are tired, not emotionally, not physically, but spiritually in our soul, because we live in a world that's bombarding us with information and things, and we're open to it, and we just absorb it all. And we live in a world, we just absorb all these thoughts. And then after we absorb them, then we try to discern and say, is this truth or not? Is this good or bad? Instead of in the front, we do it after we absorb it. And we don't have enough information. We don't have enough skills. We don't have enough capacity to keep absorbing all this and to be discerning all of it. And so instead of us being led into intellectual smart ways and spiritual ways, we're just overloaded with this burden of stuff. And often what it does, it just triggers our emotions. And our emotions are triggered into anger, which we don't understand why we're fully angry, but that pricked a thing, that pricked a nerve, and we think that's not right. Or we just fall into a hurt. Or I think the biggest thing is, because all this is going on, and it's mostly always negative, is that we fall into a big state of constant disappointment. Disappointed in how the world's going. Disappointed in how our world's going. Disappointed how our faith is working. As one man said it this way, we are walking around in a state of grief. And and we keep trying to run on and keep moving on. And while we might not be so physically or emotionally tired, we are so tired. Tired of trying to be enough. Tired of trying to hold everything together. We're tired of pretending we're always okay, because that's spiritual. We're tired of wondering if God is really for us or not, and trying to really follow Him. We're tired. So tired. And Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And for some of you, even hearing that, you're like, okay, I gotcha. What I need to do is rest. And so you've already turned rest into a project. Like, I'm going to rest harder this week. Or it's vacation. That's my rest. Vacation's really not rest. That's control wearing a spiritual mask. Because you know that feeling. You know that feeling after you spent the time to try to rest, and you maybe have rested, you say, oh, I feel a little better now. And then you come back into your world, and you come back, and maybe you feel a little bit more refreshed because you had a distraction, and maybe a little happier because of the experiences you had. But when you get back, and a little bit later, all of a sudden, you're back to being so tired because you're still you. And that vacation, that escape, or whatever it is, it didn't change you. It just distracted you for the moment. And the struggle is, we look at the cross the same way. Just help me in this situation. Just get me out of this moment. The cross doesn't help you carry your burden. The cross removes the burden entirely. It removes entirely. See, the cross will either offend you or it will free you. If it offends you, you'll keep trying to build your own life and do it your own way, and you'll keep trying to hold all things together and stay overwhelmed and stressed and anxious. But if you see the cross clearly, that this was for you, then everything changes. So hear it clearly. Because at the cross that Jesus suffered and died and rose again, and therefore I declare this to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Not partially, not, oh, if I do some work, I get it full, completely. Your guilt is removed. Not managed, not suppressed, not just kind of taken away for a little while and bring it back. No, it is removed. And you're standing before God secured. You're standing with God Almighty over the Lord of heaven and earth, and you have peace. You are secured. Not because of your effort, not because of the good you've done or the good you might do ahead, because of the good that Christ did on the cross. So the bottom line is, you don't come to God with your improvement plan. You come with an empty hand. You come empty. You come and fall into His rest. You come and confess and rest in His grace. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you need to pick up your cross and follow me. And if you've been around the church, you've heard that verse. And that verse often is used like, you need to pick up your cross. You need to sacrifice. You need to suffer. You need to go through pain and struggles. And you need to work out your salvation. And you need to make a sincere commitment, make a big decision, and die to yourself. And it's all this law upon us. And I would challenge you, what if when Jesus said that, he wasn't saying about, hey, I gave you an example, now do the same thing. But he was saying, I have done this. And the cross for you is not the death sentence it was for me, but it's a sentence of life. What if Jesus is actually inviting us to life? Life now, eternal. Life that's full with his joy, his peace, his love, his courage, absence of fear. We're courageous and we're strong with his resilience because of his cross to us. See, the cross changes everything. And the question is, has it changed you? Are you willing to be foolish to the world and say yes to the cross? That's the question of Good Friday. Let's pray. Lord, this is a struggle because everything in our world tells us to be strong, independent people. You know, we're supposed to pick our boots up, bite leather, grind through it, endure it all. I mean, that's our Americanism. That's our people we look up to. And yet your word says, your ways are above my ways, says the Lord. It's just the opposite. And every part of it says, that's foolish. But that's what you call to. That you invite us to. Say, don't trust in your own understanding. But what? Lean on God's. Trust in him. And maybe you're in a time where, man, you're just in that place where you feel so stuck and it's been hurting and it's been doubts have been rising. I want you to know you're in the perfect place for God to do the perfect great work. To experience his love that will free you. So just stay there. No, this is not punishment, but this is grace. A grace that loves us where we're at, but loves us enough to not leave us there. And the words of trust that he is working things for his plan, for his good, for your good. He doesn't abandon you, he's right there. So when you feel like you're alone, you can't feel him, you can't sense him, well, that's why his word is there, so we can trust him. We're reminded he's a good and faithful God who went to a cross for you so you wouldn't have to. And you could have the gift that you can't do that is now and forever. And that is what gives us such great hope. And that what gives us such strength. And a peace that passes all understanding. And so, God, with overwhelming confidence, we can go to you in our prayers. And we can cast our burdens. We can shout our pain to you. Because you're a big God who takes it all and knows it all. And wants you to just us to throw it at you so you can minister to us. And so, Lord, we do that in the prayer you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor, and thank you, Jesus. For the cross. We come to a time in our service where we receive our offering, and so in your bulletin you'll find an envelope that you can put your offering in, or it also has instructions for giving online. And if you're watching online, you can find instructions there on our website to contribute as well. We welcome you to be part of the ministry that God has given hope by helping with our offerings. And a thanksgiving offering, really, for what Christ has done for us. So we're so glad you've been with us. In a moment, the buckets will come by to collect your envelope, and also we will collect your connection card. And I'd like to call your attention to the back of the card. This is how you can communicate with us. If you'd like to join us in one of our ministries by becoming a part of that team, if you'd like to share a commitment that you've made today, prayer requests, or if you want to sign up to attend one of our upcoming events, you can do that on the connection card, and we'll ask you to take it and your envelope and put it in the buckets as they come by. I just want to remind you that next Sunday, of course, Easter Sunday, we have 6 worship services scheduled. They're listed there in a bulletin for you, both at Ed Wallin and Inlet, and then also on our campus on Highway 98. We invite you to come to whichever one would fit your need best. Also, at 11 o'clock, there is a family event centered on Easter. The children are going to lead us into worship. And so if you'd like to come and be a part of that event, you'll want to come to the 11 a.m. service to join in the family spectacular. You know, you can't get these things by mail. It's not good. So good to have you with us this afternoon. And so great to have allowing us to be a part of your Good Friday. And so we look forward to seeing you again on Sunday as you come and continue your Easter weekend with us. I'm going to ask us to stand together. I'm going to pray for the offering. And then Roberto will lead us in song and the buckets will be passed. Father, we thank you for the goodness of the cross. We thank you for the sacrifice you gave so that we might have eternity with you. We celebrate that for every believer in this place. And we pray for those here gathered in this place who have not yet opened their heart to you. May today be that day. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed, not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. In pity angels beheld him and came from the world of light to comfort him in the sorrows he bore for my soul that night. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. It is finished. Your sin is forgiven. Your debt is paid. And your salvation is won through Christ's holy, precious blood. Go in his peace, held in his grace, until the joy of Easter morning. Amen.